All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Tuesday. Been going through ESPN. They've been dropping during this time that I love to call List Week. Dropping lists to get you through and get you ready for training camps, which technically are already starting.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have the Chargers and you have the Lions.
Five or six start today.
Is that so?
I believe so. One started Saturday. That was the Chargers, because that's how this whole thing about the second rounders and not being signed.
Yeah, because Trey Harris out of Ole Miss, the wide receiver, is holding out, which I still want to talk about that because I find that to be deeply interesting. There is a feeling that, hey, Nick Caserio started to mess things up, but he really messed things up for the Chargers. Or not Chargers, the Cleveland Browns specifically, because that was the only other second rounder ahead of Jaden Higgins, who got his 4 years fully guaranteed.
But now they're all in.
But yeah, this doesn't happen.
Seem to be.
It does seem to be, which again, this feels like this was an NFLPA concerted effort that I imagine did not start just because Jaden Higgins got his fully guaranteed. I imagine they decided, no, we're gonna see if we can stand on this at this particular time. And the Texans and the Browns are the only ones who have done it. In fact, the Texans still having Ariante Ursary out there as a second rounder as well, who has not signed. And that really does it lead me to the question of, when does he get signed?
Because
the Texans have, again, shown a willingness to guarantee money, but that's for at least a Jaden Higgins that it seems like is going to be a starter. Are they willing to do this? And also, are they willing to go from just being maybe a Nick Caserio and maybe the ownership, depending on how it's viewed, an annoyance to the rest of the league, and the rest of the owners, to like a real precedent setter, as opposed to not just your, 33rd pick up there, or 34th pick up at the top of the second round, but deep in the middle of the second round, guaranteeing fully a deal for Ariante Ursary, which again, I don't even know how much they would want to, considering he's not slotted to be a starter at this point.
That almost doesn't matter.
But if he doesn't get his contract signed, he can't get into training camp. And I would very much like to see him in training camp try and ply his trade and see what you can add to that line.
There's 30 of them
there's
out there.
There's 30 of them.
There's 30 of
them. Ain't no scragglers. Ain't nobody break the line.
Not signed second rounders. It's crazy.
Yeah, so I'm very, very much still intrigued in that. But another thing, obviously, that is intriguing and interesting in is the ESPN, the way that they've been ranking their top tens, and they've reached outside linebackers, everybody's most favorite sexy position on the football field. Off-ball linebackers is what I meant.
Yeah.
And within this, they give us the list, right? We have the top 10 off-ball linebackers. Now, the way that you guys have been doing,
we've had quarterbacks, we've had, I don't know if we've even had running backs yet, but we have different positions going on. And the Texans have kind of been, we had edge rushers and two guys were in the top 10.
Sure.
Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, quarterbacks. CJ was
that was a whole conversation mention. Now, wasn't it? Shout out to Dan Orlovsky being like, nah, that's stupid.
Yeah. But, so now we got to outside linebackers, off-ball linebacker, whatever you want to say. And I saw this, and I want to just ask you guys. So, Texans didn't have anybody in the top 10.
No.
Probably not a big surprise. They didn't have anybody as an honorable mention, which was interesting. And only one off-ball linebacker had even one vote, and that was Christian Harris.
Yeah, that was the thing that I found very intriguing, because if you, in a vacuum, were to come to any Texas fan and say, hey, there is one player that is being considered from this particular Texans team as potentially a top however many, how many is that? Because, I mean, how
it'll
many?
It'll be 15, 16 by the time you get to all the honorable mentions.
It's beyond 15, 16. Like, maybe top 20, 30 linebacker in the league, receiving kind of votes in this type of honor. Who would your first guess would have been? I imagine that, like, Azeez, because he's that central linebacker figure.
Azeez or Toa?
I don't think
EJ Speed.
I have a great respect for what Henry Toa was made of himself.
He had a great year. Well, for what we expected.
I don't know that I'd be like, top 30 linebacker. And again, I don't think that that's disrespectful. I just, I don't think that that's the place that he is.
Yeah. Maybe Speed.
I mean, he was a starter last year, but I don't know that. I kind of get how you get to Christian Harris, but I also don't, because when has Christian Harris played enough for you to have that particular feeling?
That's just coming off of his playoff performance, to be honest.
Like that is all
two
entirely
years,
off
two
of that.
Seasons ago.
But it is fair to
two seasons ago.
It is fair to acknowledge though that if he is playing, the talent is clearly there.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to make of him at this point.
And I don't know how much the Texans do. You know, the way they handled him at the end of last year, maybe they were just being protective, still not participating in the minicamp. We'll find out here pretty soon about this. But my thing with this outside linebacker is, like, are we overlooking something, like a potential, you know, hitch in the get along, as people like to say, potential.
Which people? Who?
Texans. people from, you know, this state. Are we overlooking a potential trouble spot?
I don't think so. Will Anderson Jr. was on the Ross Tucker podcast, mm-hmm. and I believe that it was, I mean, this feels like Hayden pulling the curtain back. It was recorded during
it's during Super Bowl.
Radio Row.
Right after he hopped on with us.
Yeah,
that's true.
But, you know, he was talking about, you know, the ways in which you have, as you mentioned, two incredible pass rushers with two incredible cornerbacks, and, like, you know, the symbiotic relationship between back and front. But that does leave the middle. And as I've asked many times, like, how do you attack this defense? At least one loyal listener has been like, yeah, linebacker, like, you try and get them in coverage. I think there's always going to be a level of, I don't know, I guess weakness, for lack of a better term, but I don't feel like this is an egregious weakness. You have good depth there at the linebacking space with it. I just don't know that it's going to be, like, the same level compared. Like, you stand next to 10s here, my guy. Yeah. So a nice 7 or an 8, not going to compare in that same way, but I feel like that's probably where you are linebacker-wise, because, again, with provided health, Azeez and Henry Toto, I feel great about them playing all the time. And then the addition of EJ Speed gives me another guy that I feel comfortable playing a consistent amount. The question just is, your best, like, at least by someone in football, your best potential linebacker just has been a big old question mark, and that's with very little things that point to the idea of I can expect him back in to be contributed.
My thing was maybe just the fact that you were so good at edge rusher, it sort of mitigates what you might not be at the very top off-ball linebacker, you know, somewhat, especially as rush ends, outside linebackers, that kind of thing.
Well, what are we mitigating in that space? Because, like, we talk
like
about
their impact, because you're going to be so good rushing with your ends. Maybe you just need to be solid tacklers, you know, at the linebacker position.
That's,
you know,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
But, I mean, I think that the place where you talk about mitigating is not the exterior, or, like, the exterior pass rushing. It's the interior of the defensive line. I think that, because that's where you talk about, you know, if you're
defensive. Well, exterior too. I mean, they're collapsing pockets. They're filling lanes and all that. But still,
yeah, but in those instances, your linebackers are usually in coverage. They're not necessarily having a similar responsibility. I think the shared responsibility happens more in the run game, run stopping, when you have linebackers and defensive tackles kind of charged with similar responsibilities in stopping the run. And I think that that is where it is fair to look at this defense and go, is there another level with this where it's, hey, you know, stopping the run better and then tackling better, which seems insane to ask of a defense that legitimately feels at least on the precipice, if not actually already in the space of being an elite one. But I view it less as, are we overlooking something, as, and more of, is this just the space where you're just above average, or is it going to be a place where you're really good? Because I think that is the slight, you know, node that changes. Is this defense really, really, really good, or is this defense unbleep-wittable?
Well, it's funny you say that, because let's talk. You just mentioned, are they just above average? And I'm talking about the linebacker, the linebacker position now, off ball. Are they just above average, or are they really, really good? Well, I'll go through the list. We know the ones at the top are really, really good. Number one was Fred Warner.
Yes.
Roquan Smith.
And Fred Warner can cover his ass off while also being a menace down.
Zach Bond was 3. Nick Bolton from the Chiefs was 4.
Can I stop you right quick?
Yeah.
Because Zach Bond was unranked last year. Zach Bond kind of had that feel around him last year. That was the whole conversation that was headed to the Super Bowl. Was like, oh, this Zach Bond made himself a lot of money and everything. And he did, in fact, make that money. He went from making $3.5 million last year to now a $51 million deal. The next. So, that is good. But you feel like that's the right spot for Zach Bond? Like, he had a fantastic season, but just... is 1 year enough for you to go from I'm not ranked, all of a sudden you the third best linebacker in all of what we do?
I mean, I wouldn't say he wasn't the third best linebacker in all of football. The guy was in MVP, defensive MVP conversations. But you're right. It is just 1 year, but we all know what we saw out of that cat. I mean,
yes, he was very good.
He was very, very, very good. Maybe I get your point, but I would say I wouldn't have a problem with it. Nick Bolton, 4, Frankie Louvu, 5 from the Commanders.
I like Frankie Louvu.
I do too. And then here's where we start getting into Are the Texans as good as we thought they were at this position? Because I'll go 6 through 10, but then really interesting when we get to the honorable mentions. Tremaine Edmonds, Lavonte David.
Lavonte David feels like he's not the same dude, but he's still really good.
Right. 8, DeMarvion Overshown.
Young, versatile cat.
Dre Greenlaw from the Broncos, 9.
Always been good, just coming off the injuries.
And Quincy Williams, Jets, 10.
Yeah.
But now let's go through some of these honorable mentions that got more votes than even the one that Christian Harris got. Blake Cashman, Minnesota Vikings. Familiar name.
This ends up being a fun one. I heard Sean and Seth having a conversation about this as well, and one of the things that was brought up was just, is there anything within you that thinks that maybe the Texans made the wrong move not retaining Blake Cashman and then ultimately...
He was really good here, man. He was really good here.
Disease.
His last year. We talked about it. He was talked about as maybe a pro bowler and all this other stuff. Fit. And this isn't even like, well, maybe it's a better fit in Minnesota. No, he fit D'Amico's defense.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a good fit.
I think people was worried about the money thing.
Right.
He's going to cash in a big check.
Mm-hmm.
Ha, I see what you did there because the name is Cashman.
trying to do it.
to answer your question,
a little bit.
Availability is one of those things, but also I do wonder, how did you feel about Cashman as leader guy? Because I think that's one of the things that you got with Aziz that I think was worth some of the move.
I mean, wasn't he a captain?
I don't think so.
I think he was a captain with the Vikings.
With the Vikings.
No,
okay.
I know. No, I'm saying I'm wondering about here. The Texans, but I know he is with the Vikings, which is interesting. How about these guys? You take these guys, they're getting more votes than any Texans linebacker. Jamian Sherwood from the Jets, young player, sort of ascending, that kind of thing. Matt Milano from the Bills, good player.
Matt Milano's been a really good player.
Yeah, good player. Obviously Patrick Queen has been a good player. He's got honorable mention votes. Bobby Wagner, aging but good. Some of these others.
Are you avoiding Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa because you didn't say his name?
No, I'm getting to it. The other one that I was having trouble
with. There's a lot of letters in
that's
there.
That's a good move.
Foyusadi Oluwukun.
Oh, look, see, I don't post him in Olashade, but it's cool.
From Jacksonville was going to be in the next one. These are all guys that are getting more votes than any Texans linebacker.
This might just be, again, you standing next 10s while you were 7. And again, I'm not actually doing the math on that, just kind of getting the point across.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to look at the Texans defense and name a lot of guys before you start naming linebackers.
Yeah.
Right? You name cornerbacks. You name edge rushers. You could probably name maybe 2-3 possibly edge rushers. You name safeties in here. You're like, oh, yeah, that's right. But, Aziz Alshire was really good in the middle. And Henry Toto, man, a lot of tackles playing really well. Like, I think it's just... There's only so much space, especially if we're talking about, like, from a national perspective, for everybody to go, like, oh, no, everybody on this defense, like, all 11 of them in depth, right? So I think that – I don't think that the Texans have anything, to worry about within this. And this text, I think it's fair that somebody looks at and says, hey, you can't – I don't know that it's possible to have a top 10 player at each position. I think that's part of what the salary cap does. But at the same time, like, I don't think it is even necessary. They do what's necessary for what this defense needs. And this defense has proven with these guys that you have, plus an additional guy who was a starter elsewhere that at least profiles as a depth guy right now, that they can get the job done, not just get the job done, but be incredible while doing it. I have no real concerns. The only thing is Christian Harris going to be a part of it?
Yeah.
Because, again, that's the guy that has the most talent, really should be at the top end of this, but we just have not seen him. And, of course, hopefully we get some answers during training camp, upwards inflection.
We should. Well, assuming he's out there.
Yeah. And a fair point. Do you agree with this? 713, does the dirty plays, quote unquote, affected Alshire when it comes to this?
Maybe.
You think so?
Maybe.
Who's voting on this?
Executives and front office people. That's why this list has been sort of making the rounds. This is NFL people ranking them.
But also coaches and scouts.
And coaches, yeah.
I don't know if they probably would take that into effect, though.
Yeah.
If it was like,
as much, maybe.
If it was like writers and stuff like that, then I would probably agree.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, about that time we hand things over to Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. What you got for us, bro?
Yeah, so it's a crack on the floor of the Space Needle in Seattle, and they have no plans on fixing it, but they did address it. So I'll let you know what they had to say. Plus,
what?
Plus,
did Big Dumper do that?
He might have. I don't know. Plus, what are some phrases you hate hearing from a woman? 713-572-4610.
Oh. All right, we'll do that next.
Yep, it's the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man, Figgy Fig, holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. So have you guys been in Seattle, John? Have you been to Seattle before?
Yeah, I've been there a few times.
Reggie, have you been to Seattle?
I haven't yet.
Okay, I had a chance to go to Seattle a couple years ago.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, I went for my birthday.
Yeah.
And I went up on the Space Needle. Mm-hmm. Did you go on the Space Needle?
I think the second time I went, I took my family and we did, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so the Space Needle in Seattle, you could probably see that Space Needle if you watch some, I think Frasier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that as soon as you said, if you watch, I was like, here come Frasier.
Yep. Yeah. I love Frasier. I was about to say, for some reason, Sleepless in Seattle.
Well, that too.
Is it in there?
Okay. Yeah, that's a movie.
I feel like it would have to be.
Yeah, that's a movie, yeah.
I wasn't sure. I'd never seen it, so I wasn't sure if it was in there.
Mm-hmm. There are some landmarks in any city that no matter what, in media, if this city pops up, you're going to see this landmark.
Yep.
And Seattle is easily, you are going to see the Space Needle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I had a chance to go out there. I thought it was pretty cool, man. It's a little scary. I was scared to actually sit on the little bench that's
it's like intimidating.
I know I had nothing to be worried about, but I'm just scared to just sit on that little bench and lean back.
Wait, what are you talking about?
So it's a glass,
it goes around the outside. I didn't remember it now.
Because if you up on the Space Needle, you can look out and see the glass and all that stuff. And I think it's a slight
angle,
it's a slight angle, and they had some benches right there. You could just sit there.
Oh, and lean back on the glass.
Yeah, I was a little scared to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been making the social media rounds lately because people were talking about how it's a crack in the floor.
Mm-hmm.
It's an actual crack
glass
on the floor. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, that changes. I was like, is it concrete up there?
It's glass.
Yeah, okay. It's glass.
Well, that's good. I'm sure that's great.
Yeah, so it's a crack on the floor to the point that I guess officials had to make a statement about this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say.
Yeah. So here is Como News 4 in Seattle with the story.
As the summer tourism surge arrives in Seattle, the city's most famous landmark, the Space Needle, is bracing for thousands of visitors. But recently, a video circulating on social media shows what looks like a crack on the glass floor, causing some to question its safety.
Mary, the folks over at the Space Needle say cracks do happen, but only on the top barrier layer, which protects the 10 layers of glass underneath it.
The very top layer of the glass floor, a scuff plate for shoe marks. The scuff plate gets scratched, and sometimes it will crack. It's kind of like a phone screen protector.
Our team makes an assessment, kind of from a safety standpoint, but similar to your cell phone. Think about how often you might drop it, and it gets a little crack or it gets a little scuff. Once again, that protective piece on top is basically what we're replacing. Just to give you an example of how strong our glass is here at the Space Needle, imagine the entire Seahawks team came to visit, and all the offensive players they face also came to visit, and they jumped up and down. Well, we wouldn't break a sweat.
Yeah,
So this is my question for.
So why is this a crack right there? That's
the question I'm asking. This is my question for the both of y'all. Would y'all go up there in general if you knew it was a crack in the floor?
Have they replaced it?
I don't think that. So
she's saying no. They're going to replace it.
So they replace it every 2 years. Mm-hmm. They say they replace it every 2 years.
But not till the 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. So would you go up there still? And plus, if all the people she just named, so the Seahawks offensive linemen and all the defenses they are facing.
Do Lakin Tomlinson get to come back through?
Yeah. So
he was on the Seahawks last year.
So everybody the Seahawks is facing, all the defensive players, to take a picture or jump up and down. Would y'all be down for that? Would y'all do that?
No.
I might go up there, but I would stay far away from that glass panel.
So you wouldn't do like a rave type of,
hell no.
Get into the mosh pit.
Little jumping up and down.
She really sold that well, and I didn't believe it.
And that's my thing.
Word of it.
That's what you got to do. You got to instill public confidence in this thing. And I understand, I recognize it. My problem is, it's the screen protector. It's the barrier that protects the layers underneath. Yeah, but now I got a crack in it. So what happened when that one break?
Yeah.
My thing is, she made it sound all cool with the screen protector.
Yeah.
But what if a whole bunch of offensive linemen stand on that phone at that point?
And how does she know it's just the top layer? She goes, that's just the top layer.
Well, I mean, I feel like
you can buff that right out. Are you sure? Remember the documentary on Titan? They were hearing all these cracks and everything on the sub that went down to see the Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, oh, no, that happens all the time. Oh, does it? Does it?
Yeah, it's just a mental thing. It's a mental thing for y'all, man. Get out your mental.
Somebody said y'all don't watch enough Final Destination Bloodlines talking about that Seattle thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My thing about it is like, yeah, all these circumstances and it hasn't. All it takes one time.
Yeah.
All it takes one time.
Just one time.
The whole lot, like, hey, yeah, the barrier, it's just a barrier glass. Okay, but it's a barrier for a reason. So put a new barrier on.
Yeah.
So y'all wait until they change out the floor, put a new little screen protector on the floor.
Yeah.
Then y'all good.
Yeah, I'm good.
So right now, y'all not good.
I'm out. How about you? You're talking big.
No, I'm not. You see, I wouldn't even sit on the bench up there. I wouldn't even sit if I seen a crack up there, I would have been like, oh, nah, baby, let's go.
Let's go.
Nah, I ain't chancing that. All right, it's the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. So I got a list of random phrases that men absolutely hate hearing from women. 713-572-4610. This is your town event. If you got a phrase that your lovely lady always say to you that just drives you nuts, let me know. Text some men, let me know. So the first one on this list, I'm going to go down this list real quick and let me know which one you agree with or not.
Okay, all right.
So the first one I see is do whatever you want.
You're done.
Red flag.
Do whatever you want.
No, you're done. Not only red flag, you're done.
Friend, understand. She does not mean do whatever you want. That is this is one of those interesting situations that instantly makes it opposite day.
No.
No. Yeah, but that's a good point.
It's not even a red flag. It's over.
How many times can you come back from do whatever you want?
Yeah,
because y'all done already had some conversations.
If my lady told me to do whatever you want, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, I'm not doing it.
That's right.
And now we got to sit down and talk and see what's up.
Yep.
What's going on?
That's it.
What's going on in your mental?
Mm-hmm.
The next one is, I guess.
You're also done.
Or I'm fine.
Once again, done. You're done.
I don't even know if you're done, but I'm fine sometimes ends up in a place where you're like, I got to find out what you're not clearly not fine about, but you're not in a place where you want to help me find out what you clearly not fine about.
Mm-hmm.
But I also bet you want me to find out what you're not fine about. And that's the most frustrating part of that.
Yeah. What about this one? Do you like my friend?
Okay, I'm actually glad you brought this one up.
Do you like my friend?
Because a lot of men immediately default to just lying. You know, but here's my theory on this.
The John Lopez school of marriage and relationships.
Yes.
How long have you been married for?
40 years.
Okay, how long did you have that pillow before it got thrown away?
20 years.
Sorry, I'm just being a jerk. My bad.
So, when a woman asks you this question, she already knows that you like her friend. For the most part. She wouldn't ask you, do you like her? Or do you think she's pretty or whatever? You know, we all know, we've all been asked that. She already knows that you do because you've been with each other. You have little, signs.
Are you telling me she's the feds? Like when the feds come in and they're like, we need you to talk about this right here. Like they don't need you to, they have documentation.
Exactly. The right answer is to lean into it as I often do in a lot of things. Say, yeah, she's hot. And then it's kind of almost over.
Because
she knows.
I don't know about
there's
that.
There's a needed
one,
disclaimer here. Yeah. Don't listen to John Lopez.
No, because if you say, no,
well.
I don't. Yes, you do. I can tell. But if you say, yeah, she's hot, doesn't mean you're going to do anything.
Yeah.
You know?
I also think because I think this is how I feel when a woman asks you that. She probably feel like her friend is good looking and hot, and she want to know how you feel about it. She might be a little intimidated, so she want to know, hey.
So lean into it. They know what's coming. They know how you feel. They know what the friend looks like.
Me, I would be like, yeah, she cool.
Yeah,
she cool. She
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
I ain't not cool with the L on. She cool. COO. She cool. Yeah, cool. What about this one? This is my number one, though. We need to talk.
Oh, man.
Don't text me we need to talk.
This is a great answer. Because it is not the actual talk. It is just an announcement of the talk that needs to happen later. And if we going to have the talk, good, bad, or indifferent, how about we have the acknowledgement when the talk happens? That's one of those things I just generally don't like is having to, of course, there's certain situations where you need to plan ahead, but like having to think about a thing before I need to think about a thing, which we need to talk is inherently the opposite.
You don't want to schedule it.
Yeah.
You don't want to schedule it.
Like I tell my wife this all the time. She always do stuff like, hey, can I ask you a question? I'm like, nope. Like, just ask me the question. Don't ask permission to ask me a question. Just ask the question.
Yeah.
Or if you want me to do something, just, hey, can you hand me this? Da, 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 da. Don't say, hey, can you do me a favor?
We need to talk.
Like, why is you doing all these extra words?
The can you do me a favor might just be, that might just be like a turn of phrase. You getting a little mad at that one. Yeah, no,
but can we need to talk. Or
we need to talk is definitely
can I
too
ask
much.
You a question? Like, just ask me.
All right, how do y'all feel about this particular response? It comes from Trey on the YouTube page. It says, you have to teach them to not ask questions they don't want honest answers to. So, in essence, he was like, I set it up pretty early that I'm just going to answer this exactly the way I hear it, and you're just going to have to live with that. Do you agree with that sentiment?
The sentiment is sound, but it is not going to work.
Okay. Relationship expert John Lopez.
It will not work.
I'm kind of training my wife to that because whenever she said, can I ask you a question? I just said, nah,
Does that ever stop the question?
No. So now she come back around and just ask me whatever she was going to ask instead of can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
But what about this one? They couldn't handle me. If she just said, they couldn't handle me.
She's toxic.
Yeah. I feel like if you say something like that.
We're being honest, right? She's toxic.
You got a lot. You must have a lot.
I never
going
agreed
on.
To any honesty here. Y'all in y'all honest boat by yourself.
Yeah.
What about this one? I'm not hungry.
Yeah, that one's tough.
Mm-hmm.
That one's tough.
Yeah.
It also isn't universal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just got to find out what's happening with your lady. But yes, way too often. Or it's not even the I'm not hungry. Well, maybe it is the I'm not hungry because then eventually you get food and they get a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But it might more so be the I don't know, you pick. You know what I mean? Like that cat and mouse game.
To me, that's almost two different things. Yeah, the restaurant game is awful. We've all acknowledged that, you know, I don't know anything, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I looked at this one a little bit different. Like, I'm not hungry, almost as if, like, she's mad.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, like, whatever, I'm not
hungry. Look, John, you're giving me a lot of experience on 40 years, but you're also saying a lot of things that makes me think you've been in a lot of these situations.
What gave it away?
You got Jan over here with the hunger strikes.
Yeah. And it's even funnier when you know she liked this spot or you know she hungry.
Yeah.
And you like, hey, I'm about to go here.
Yes.
You want something? I'm not hungry.
I'm not hungry. That's she's mad about something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I looked at that a little differently.
Yeah. What about this one? Man up.
Man up?
Yeah.
That she wants to fight. she's asking.
I don't like anybody to tell me to man up. Unless
asking to fight.
Unless I'm like being trained on something, like in the gym, in the training. Come on, man up.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, don't tell me to man up. You man up. You man up.
Wow, that's a good one from the 346. Do you want to go to such and such with me? But then when you say no, she gets angry. Like he said, just tell me, let's go.
Yeah.
That's my point, man. Just tell me, hey, we going here.
Right.
All right, I'll go.
Mm-hmm.
But then she'll be like, I want to feel like your mother.
Yeah. I don't want to feel like your mother.
Do y'all notice that once a quarter we get into a Figgy's mixtape, we all just get vent. Y'all get to venting.
Hey, that's healthy, man.
I'm
we
not can't venting.
Keep, that is
I'm,
fi-
I'm,
we can't
I'm,
get we can't keep all this stuff inside.
That
man.
Is true. That is true.
I just wear it on my sleeve. I'm just being honest.
I don't want to feel like your mother.
Yeah.
You're lucky she don't listen to this show, man.
She gonna listen one day.
It's gonna happen
one day.
And I'm going to laugh.
One day she gonna be in the car with some friends.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's on the right. Let me see what he's talking about. And I'm sitting here. I'm not your mother.
And that's the worst type of mad she's going to be because you embarrass her in front of company. And
yes,
that is,
hypothetical
that you've set up there.
Yeah.
But until that time, you're going to keep doing it, though, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to keep doing it.
All right. Very, very fun. Another edition of Figgy's Mixtape right here.
Isn't that your mother?
In the loop on Sports Radio 610. A lot of these keep coming. Does this dress make me look fat? Again, fair. toxic, all sorts of things. All right, appreciate you guys getting involved and blowing up the text line.
Say fatter.
Dog, that is not even just answering the question. That is intentionally kamikazing the circumstance.
That's when you want to just fight.
I see it.
I will say, I don't have to go through. I could be totally honest with, you know, what she wearing. If I like it, if I don't like it, I could be totally honest. And she good. She actually give me praise for that.
Look at that. Look at you, she saving it.
She like, I don't want you have me going out here looking like a fool.
You gotta
let me know if it don't look good.
You got
I
a text
change.
From her, right? That's why you try to start a change of your tone right here. Make sure you sound nice.
I got to give her a little credit.
All right, very good. All right, coming up next, let's cross talk with the fellas of the drive, Clinton Ron. But before we get there, SEC Media Day is going on. There's a couple of things that I found interesting coming out of it. Let's talk about that next.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us here on this Tuesday, getting ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive here in a moment. We'll get to what I teased here in a little bit, but we got a little bit of news happening in the world of the NFL as the Jets continue to make some deals happen. This is the time where it seems like they want to do it. And so in an interesting kind of mirror with the Texans, where the Texans have obviously Nico Collins on one of these really good deals, and they have they recently got Derek Stingley on his three-year $90 million deal, obviously $30 million average annual value, and the practical guarantee of that is $89 million, so basically all that guaranteed. We see Sauce Gardner join Garrett Wilson, who he got his contract announced yesterday, and Sauce Gardner, Ahmad Gardner, if you like reading people's government names, gets a four-year $120.4 million deal, so the average annual value is $30.1 million.
And I had to have it, didn't
why do you think that $100,000 was important here, Figgy, on the average annual value?
Yeah,
because I'm the highest pay. I get more money,
dude. This is so funny to me.
It's the measuring contest.
Well, those two guys are going to be measured against each other, you know, for a long long time. And he's like, well, for now I'm gonna go ahead and get that extra 100 grr every year.
I mean, good for the agents to get that, because obviously those are the types of things that make your clients feel good, and hopefully, I imagine, can at least for the, you know, agency, go out to potential clients to see, hey, say, hey, look what we did. We got a little extra for our guy to be at the top for guys for whom it matters.
Yeah.
But again, this highlights what Nick Caserio has as his particular bargaining chip, and maybe one that, again, makes others in the league upset, is that not only did he set the market in a way that Sauce Gardner came back over top and put money on it, but he also did it at 3 years for Derek Stingley in that extension. That's another one of those instances where you go, all right, you're setting the market, but also you're not giving us negotiating space because you're not getting years from the players in the ways that other teams operate. It seems to be a good plan of attack for the team in order to keep guys happy, because, again, this is giving to players in a way that really the NFL is not giving in any space. I mean, we're seeing, and I'm still fascinated by the potential like collusion case, and then also what's happening with the NFLPA. There's a level of trying to get your home in order for the Players Association right now. Mm-hmm. I imagine the Players Association is very grateful for Nick Caserio and this Texans front office for the ways that they operate, giving their players a little bit of some of the goodness as opposed to fighting on all fronts as the NFL can want to.
He's out here setting markets, man. For second rounders, for cornerbacks,
that's right,
for whomever it might be. I don't
helping
mind
the cause.
And I would argue it helps the team a lot too.
You think Nick Caserio's angling for the, you know, once that PA coordinator job or what have you comes open? Do you think that's what's happening here at all?
Yeah, I don't know about that. But you know, there's a lot to be argued that this is good for the team too. Kind of that Astros Jim Crane, we're not doing deals longer than 6 years kind of mentality. Like, it's good for the players because they can re-up quicker. It's good for the team because they don't have to re-up them.
They don't,
and
but
they
also
have for a shorter amount of time and see if, you know, kind of a make good almost, because it's all about the guarantee anyway.
Exactly, but that's, you know, the thing is with football, that extra year that you tack on there is likely not going to be guaranteed in most of these spaces anyway. So that guarantee,
yeah, but
is,
the guarantee gets bigger on 4 year deals than 3 year deals.
Possibly.
Generally speaking.
I mean, it's tough to talk about this when the genesis for this conversation in particular is, hey, remember Derek Stingley got a three-year, $90 million deal that $89 was guaranteed? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like then we end up in a place where it's tough to talk about the guarantee getting bigger when you damn near guarantee
all
of it.
Well, bigger than a four-year, and bigger than a three-year is a four-year. Like, I can almost assure you that Sauce's guarantee is going to be bigger. I haven't seen it yet. But when it comes out, I'm sure it will be.
And the guarantee, actually, according to Adam Schefter, and again, this is what I'm guessing is the practical guarantee as opposed to like the guarantee at signing, 85.6. Right. So he even, which shout out to the Jets finding a way to not have to give more of a guarantee than the Texans did, or get closer to, you know, that damn near fully guaranteed that the Texans did. And so I guess that's a place where Derek Stingley wins. But yeah, less still, the Texans give more guarantee compared to what the Jets give on an additional year of length there. Is there at all any like concern that the Texans can like continue to do this, or like has it just operated in a way where you feel comfortable and you're happy with it?
I'm comfortable with it, and I've said it for a long time. I think it's absolutely true. Nick Caserio always is three steps ahead. He plays a lot of chess with his contracts, with his moves, all of it. So I do have a lot of confidence when it comes to that area. Now, he might not always get the right guys, but in terms of planning like that, I do have a lot of confidence.
I love this. Somebody says Stingley's the highest paid after taxes. I like what you're doing there. Shout out to the great state of Texas. I'm still, though, I will be interested to see the big contract thing that lays on Nick Caserio's desk is something that we were talking about a little bit earlier, which is, when does Ariante Ursary get signed? Obviously, you have 7 days because Texans report to camp literally next week. Mm-hmm. And so, but you got to get it done by then if you want to get him out here actually working out and playing football.
Yeah, yeah. And not only that, you know, you got to get other guys signed as well. But Ursary in particular at that position in that room, that we talked about it to start the show. You know, what is best case and worst case scenario? Best case scenario is this guy gets signed and he starts threatening to be a starter, you know, at either right tackle or left tackle.
Yeah. So that's still something that we'll be watching for the remainder and through the week. Hopefully not for the remainder of the week. Hopefully that gets done in a way where you have a resolution there. But again, this feels like a labor negotiation, like one of these big watershed labor negotiation circumstances and it seems like the NFLPA. And of course, I'm not basing this off of any like reporting or whatever, but just you look at 32 players get drafted in the second round. Two of them have signed contracts, both of them guaranteed, and all of the other players
are
unsigned, some of them not showing up to camp. This feels like one of those moments where the NFLPA is trying to make some level of action, almost like when I saw the Lamar Jackson thing, when we got to that place and now you're in restricted free agency and you got NFL teams like the Atlanta Falcons openly saying they don't want that guy. And I was like, oh, okay, I see. We are entering into a place where this isn't player versus, you know, this isn't individual player versus individual office. This is the fullness of the NFLPA having a, you know, entirely of the league conversation or what have you. So, yeah, no, I'm again, we'll see that what that space looks like.
The closer you get to camp, the better it is for the Players Association, the players, you know.
One would imagine,
right?
One would imagine, but for individual teams, it's still one guy that
imagine
you're having.
30-second rounders not reporting.
What do you think that does, though? Because in theory, each team, like the pressure for the individual team, does not change because all of the other 30 haven't, does it? Like it's just it's still the individual pressure of this player that we drafted is not here.
But 30
in,
times
in theory,
over,
you want that guy to.
But 30 times over, or even 25, whatever it may be, that makes the collusion thing look real.
And I guess the pressure that then is applied, though, is if one person in the line breaks, right? Like one of these teams breaks, and God forbid it's one of them that had a lower draft pick, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you're talking about in the 50s or what have you of the second round. And now everybody above them goes, well, see, that guy got his guaranteed.
Yeah.
Now go ahead and pony up. That might answer the question, but it might not answer it in a way that team owners are very happy about. So, interested in what is happening there.